Hello, and welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants alone and do not reflect the opinions of anyone officially associated with Voice of Vashon. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we are going to get some insight into substance abuse on our islands. How prevalent is it? How do we recognize it in friends, family, ourselves? And how big is the problem here? To help us navigate those questions and more is Tom Walston, a substance abuse disorder professional and counselor at Vashon Youth and Family Services. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Susan. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I have so many questions for you. We only have 10 to 15 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. First of all, I'd like you to take a moment to introduce your own Voice of Vashon show. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, well, it kind of just fell into my lap, but we're going to be going on probably episode 6 or 7 tomorrow. It's called Adventures in Recovery. It's a 30-minute show starting at 1:30 every Tuesday afternoon. And when we say Adventures in Recovery, it's not just about recovering from a substance issue. We all recover from some things. Today, I'm recovering from having an incredible weekend in Minneapolis with some friends, recovering from just a joyous event, helping celebrate a 50th wedding anniversary. I have some really good friends from way even before high school, and recovering from just the joy, because personally, I am a person in long-term recovery myself, so the recovery doesn't come from any substance or any drinking. It comes from just the joy and the love of being around so many people, and it was very emotional and very intense. So
that takes a lot of energy.
It does take a lot of energy. No wonder I slept so well last night and slept on the flight the whole way home. But yeah, it was a great weekend, but you know, it's always nice to get back home.
Yes, it is. What you mentioned, that you're a recovering addict.
Well,
yourself?
You could say, well, let's put it this way. I kind of wore a lot of hats in my addiction. My career started out at age 17 as a bartender in Minneapolis. And I felt like I found my dream job. What started out as a part-time summer job out of high school lasted over 20 years. So, you know, a lot of bartenders, not all, would help themselves to a beverage now and then while you're working. And so I found my alcoholism started right in my playground in my workplace. And then, of course, I would tell people I didn't really have a problem with cocaine. I just really liked to smell it a lot all the time. And then I moved to Los Angeles in the 80s, and it was snowing a lot down there. So, you know, I had a couple of things I really needed to address if I wanted to continue my life on this planet as we know it.
You know, you're not the first counselor, substance abuse counselor I've learned is a recovering addict themselves. How does that inform your work?
Well, as far as establishing rapport with the client, first of all, by me sharing the fact that I'm in long-term recovery helps to reduce the stigma around drug addiction or alcoholism, because there was such a negative connotation about it. People are embarrassed and they're ashamed to even admit that there might be a problem and that they might even want to address it. And actually going to a counselor or going to a place like Vashon Youth and Family Services for a drug and alcohol assessment can be embarrassing, it can be intimidating, and it can be a blow to one's ego. So I'm here to help give back to what I've been freely given in my own recovery. I feel like I've been granted a second chance with life. And in fact, there's a self-assessment tool that people can actually do on their own. And
so, ooh, how do we get to that?
Well, it's called Check Your Drinking. Just Google Check Your Drinking. It's actually put out by the CDC, Center for Disease Control. And it's a self-assessment tool where you just answer a few questions honestly. And you might be surprised at the end results. The end results might go from you are an occasional binge drinker, or, you know, and it might have some tips on how to help motivate you to change your habits. Because actually, 3 in 6 people actually don't even drink, believe it or not. and 1 in 6 people drink in moderation, and 2 in 6 people exceed moderation drinking. So we tend to hang around our own like-minded people. So if we hang around people that typically drink 6 or 7 or 8 drinks per use, and we're going right along with them, we think everybody's like that.
Oh, so...
I mean, we're a product of our environment.
Yeah. When does substance use, whether it's alcohol or anything else for that matter, become abuse?
When it crosses the line. One real good indicator is, let's say, for instance, you get a phone call some morning saying, do you know what you did last night? And you don't want to hear the answer.
Ooh.
That's a real big indicator right there.
Does that mean you don't know, you don't remember, or you don't want to remember?
Both.
I see.
That's a big both. Sometimes you get a nudge from the judge, which means you've got a DUI. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It's just a .08 in our state. And, you know, you can be over the limit and not even know it. And the limits vary from male to female, from age to body weight, and a lot of other things. So as far as drugs go, well, if you're taking any type of a drug that is either non-prescribed to you or you're not following the doctor's advice on that, there's probably an issue. Or if you're buying drugs off the street, there's an issue right there. Illegal drugs. Nowadays, fentanyl has become a huge, huge problem. And it's killing people, and we've lost some of our residents from the island even.
Yeah, let's dig into that a little bit. How serious is the fentanyl problem on our islands?
Well, it's probably more of a problem than people realize. A person can do various doses of fentanyl. Some are just maintenance users where they just are continuing their fentanyl use just to prevent going into withdrawal. And some people are very, very good at moderating their use. But the problem is, sometimes we don't know where the fentanyl is coming from.
Mm.
There's a lot of different manufacturers out there and a lot of different cartels that use different recipes. I've talked to clients before in the last couple of years that have purchased a gram of cocaine that happened to be laced with fentanyl.
Ooh.
Which to me doesn't make any sense. Cocaine is an upper. Fentanyl is a downer. So why would the two be mixed?
So would they balance it out?
Well, you would think one would cancel the other out, but right. It really doesn't. And you would think the dealer wouldn't want to be killing people. Wouldn't you want to keep your customers alive to continue business? A lot of it just doesn't make sense, but it's just a real crazy, crazy business.
Let me ask you this from a naive perspective, essentially. What is the link between fentanyl and OxyContin or oxycodone?
What is the link, did you say?
The link.
Oh, the link.
Are
okay.
they
well,
connected somehow?
Okay, so here's the deal. A lot of opioid users started out with an injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was for legitimate pain medication. Even a high school football injury. Okay. You're prescribed some kind of a pain reliever. And oftentimes when those are prescribed, the doctor or the prescriber does not include a taper down program afterwards to learn how to get off of the drugs. These are really very powerful medications.
Yes.
And the pharmacology industry is very well aware of that. And so for a person to stop taking them cold turkey, they're going to get sick. And they're going to find out that, you know what, they won't renew my prescription anymore, so let me see if I can find something on the street. You don't have to look too far to find Percocets or find any kind of pain reliever on the street. And then those get rather expensive. And heroin is cheaper. Several years ago, heroin was the big problem on the streets.
Yeah.
Heroin is a lot cheaper than buying oxys, so they would get a much more intense high, but it makes you a lot sicker. The withdrawals are heavier. Then introduce fentanyl. So for the last few years, I mean, there are some places locally you can get one tablet. They're also called blues on the street. You can get a fentanyl tablet for a dollar. You know, but people that are hurting will pay up to, you know, $10, $15 if they need it bad enough.
So it must be that the withdrawal from any of these opioids, heroin, or fentanyl is so extreme that people are desperate.
Oh, there's no question about that.
To keep it going.
I've heard it been described as 5 times worse than the worst flu you've ever had.
Mm.
So, I mean, there are places that will help detox you safely. One is a place I refer several clients to, which is fairly easy to get into, and you can get in with state insurance, and it's Tacoma Detox. So oftentimes I've met people at the ferry on the Point Defiance side and driven them over to Tacoma Detox. So once they're through with the testing to make sure you don't have COVID, they go ahead and admit you, and they will safely detox you and medicate you while you go through the withdrawals. And ironically enough, a lot of the public don't realize that the two major withdrawals that can kill you is withdrawing from alcohol or withdrawing from benzodiazepines, which is tranquilizers.
Okay, so we haven't covered either of those, and time is flying. So I wonder if you can give me a picture of the severity of substance abuse, including alcohol and drugs, here on the island. Do you have a window into the statistics that might tell us something?
Well, it's really hard to chart a lot of these statistics, but I can tell you Vashon is a very interesting environment, especially for alcohol consumption. Most people that like to go out to bars on Vashon or that drink at home even realize that we don't have a lot of police presence on the island. So the chances are they're probably not going to get a DUI on the island unless they're in a wreck and the police have to show up. And they do a breathalyzer or a blood test at that point. But there's other problems as well because we don't have intersections and stoplights, and we don't have a lot of street lighting. So at night, when it's dark, there's a lot of curves on the roads around here. There's a couple of very well-documented situations where people have missed a turn, and there's been people charged with vehicular homicide because they have been, maybe they were the driver and a passenger was killed.
Right.
Which was the case, and which was the case with one particular accident here. But we also have a very high deer population. So at night, I mean, unfortunately, the deer get in the way. And if you're impaired already and you run into a deer, chances are good you're going to end up in a ditch too.
So in your practice, what are you seeing the most of? Are you seeing more people addicted to alcohol, more people addicted to drugs? And if so, what kind?
Okay. A lot of, there's a pattern where if you're it kind of goes in trends. About 4 or 5 years ago, it was a lot of meth. Okay. Mm-hmm. And meth users typically are not drinkers. So you don't have a combination there of alcohol and meth. Usually just have meth. But what that is complemented by is some form of opioid for a downer. Because if you are on a meth run, that could go for 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 days.
Wow.
Then you get into a meth psychosis. But they eventually want to get some sleep. So what are you going to do? You're going to find an opioid to put you down for a little while.
So in the last minute that we have.
Oh, this has gone fast.
Yes, it goes really fast. What do you want people to walk away from with this conversation? What do you want islanders to know about substance abuse on the island and what they can do to help a friend, a family member, or themselves?
Well, I'll tell you what, on Vashon, there are, if you're maybe intimidated by coming into Vashon Youth and Family Services for an assessment, there's a lot of 12-step meetings on the island, and all you have to do is just stop into Vashon Youth and Family Services. I keep a full stack of meetings locations and times right by the front desk. You don't even have to talk to somebody. Just come in and grab a schedule. The only requirement, they say, for Alcoholics Anonymous, for instance, is a desire to stop drinking. Nobody's going to be smelling your breath when you come in the door. And just come in and be an observer and check it out and see if it seems like a good fit for you. And every different group has a different flavor, so to speak, and a different personality. So if one group doesn't feel right, hit another one. There's a real good one of all places on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock at the Eagles. I mean, that used to be a watering hole, a drinking place for a lot of us.
I think it is at night, yeah.
But, you know, during the day on a picnic table and back, you're going to have a lot of people in recovery sitting around sharing their experience, strength, and hope with each other. There's another one on Saturday mornings right over here. In fact, it's right down the street at the Methodist Church. That's 9 o'clock Saturday mornings.
So, okay, I mean, so go to meetings.
Go to a meeting and check it out, and you're going to see that it takes the aloneness away from you.
Yeah.
You're going to find out that there's no shame in your game, that there's a lot of other people, and you might even recognize some people at, when you walk into the meeting. And believe me, they're going to probably wonder what took you so long to get there instead of being shocked that you're showing up. But I'll tell you, one thing about being in recovery, we learn how to have fun in a clean and sober lifestyle. Because if it wasn't fun, why would we be getting into recovery? What would it do for any of us? Your family's going to be happier. You're going to be happier. Your employer's probably going to be happier. And that pretty much sums it up.
That's a great takeaway. Tom Walston, you're going to have to come back.
Oh, Susan, I would love to.
You have been listening to a Vashon Minute here on the Voice of Vashon. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this occasional show. And I'm so grateful that you joined us and were listening to us. Please stay tuned to the Voice of Vashon. You never know what might come next.